Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome to The Deal Link on 101.9 Chai FM. I have Sonali Johnson, who is Head of Knowledge Policy and Advocacy at Union for the International Cancer Control, UICC. And we are crossing over to speak to Sonali. She is in Switzerland at the moment, preparing for the World Cancer Congress, organized by the Union for International Cancer Control, taking place in Geneva from September the 17th to September the 19th. Sonali, welcome, and thank you very much for your patience, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's a huge pleasure to be here.
Sonali, am I correct in saying that the World Cancer Congress, I mean, this goes back to 1933, you've been meeting every year?
Yes. So the first International Cancer Congress was held in Madrid in 1933. And that is when there were plans put forward to create a global cancer organization. The International Union for Cancer Control, which is now the Union for International Cancer Control. So we celebrated our 90th anniversary in 2023. And we are still going proudly, working to support our members on cancer control globally.
Just amazing. And I mean,
it's not every year.
I'm just thinking 90 years ago, the challenges that they were facing then, and looking in 2024, the challenges that we are facing. So there has been obviously incredible advancements in medicine and treatments and research and. But is it the same kind of challenges, Sonali, that we face still today?
You know, Nikki, your question is so interesting because we were going through our archives to celebrate our 90th anniversary. And we looked at footage from, I think it was the BBC or another news outlet from the 50s in black and white. And one of the lead topics that was featured at the World Cancer Congress then was tobacco control.
Wow.
And the impact of tobacco on lung cancer. And we are still talking about tobacco control. In 2024, it is still a problem around the world. We are talking about other risk factors for cancer. They talked about those then, indoor air pollution, so cooking fires inside, the use of coal, etc., tobacco. We are still very much looking at those. I think what's changed and what's really important is that we have great, really good body of evidence which show the link between these risk factors and onset of cancer, but also that our policies have improved hugely. So as you can see now, in many countries, you cannot smoke indoors. There is very strict regulation around tobacco control marketing to young people, etc. There are still loopholes. There are still efforts by the tobacco industry to counteract those, but we have moved on.
It really is interesting that, as you say, and that it still is a problem, and that even now you've got this good body of evidence, and yet people still choose to take part in tobacco, to ingest it, put their health at risk. It is interesting. And something else I wanted to ask you, Sonali, just something like prevention, screening, and early detection, because I know that that's one of the key themes of the World Cancer Congress program. I mean, our previous guest, the whole idea behind that, she said, is really with childhood cancer to promote this early detection, not so much screening in children. It's more the early detection. Are you finding this a real issue? And is there a difference, a big difference with prevention, screening, and early detection in first world countries and third world countries?
Well, I have to absolutely agree with what Natasha had said on how important early detection is. I think the earlier that we can diagnose cancer, the earlier we can treat it. And generally, they have better outcomes when cancers are detected early and are treated early. Also, less cost to the health systems because the treatment is less complex and long term. Also, the impact on the family also radically changes when cancer is detected early, and you're looking at a better prognosis for many cancers that we can detect early. And I think there are some cancers which are more amenable to early detection, like, for example, cervical cancer, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, now increasingly lung cancer through new techniques. So yes, it is very important. And I just want to say, going back to your earlier question, that our knowledge of cancer has hugely improved. And along with that, that has allowed us to really dig down and develop a great body of evidence and strong interventions that can treat it effectively. So yes, early detection is critical.
Thanks, Sonali. Sorry.
But I also want to say that prevention, we talked about prevention. So, yes. You know, almost half of cancers, if you think about the whole burden of cancer. Now, cancer, there are many cancers. There are sort of about 200 cancers. A cancer can occur anywhere in the body. But generally, there are some very evidence-based actions that individuals and governments can take to lower risk of cancer in populations. So for organizations like the Union for International Cancer Control, we don't look at early detection by itself as an isolated way. We look at it as part of a continuum. So we really look at it between prevention, early detection, treatment and care. But we also, going back to your question, look at who has access. So you asked, who has access between HICs, high-income countries, and LMICs? Well, this is a big problem. There are countries that have very nascent health systems, that have very limited cancer care systems. So those early detection mechanisms are not available, readily available, or they're found in a few private hospitals where patients have to pay out of pocket, or they're located very far away, or they simply don't exist. Some small island states, countries, don't have any cancer services and treatment services, and patients have to be treated abroad in other countries. So this is the problem. This happens more in low and middle income countries. But I also want to say that there is an inequality between access to early detection and treatment services within high income countries themselves, where some groups of people do not have the same level of access. That may be because of where they are located, but also their background, how much money they have, who they are, et cetera, that they simply do not have the same access. And equity and closing the care gap is one of the big missions of UICC.
And so challenging, I'm sure, because each country has their own healthcare systems, their own policies in place, and you're dealing with all of that. So how do you all come together? And, you know, over these 2 days with everyone from all over, how do you find some common ground with these different healthcare systems and policies? I mean, that must be hugely challenging.
Yes. You know, it's such a wonderful event. I've been at UICC now for 11 years, and I've done several of these congresses, and I love them. Why? Because people come from all around the world, from high-income countries, from low-income countries, middle-income countries. They come as advocates. They come as policymakers, program managers, and we all talk together about a global response to cancer. So the themes that we look at are the ones we have just discussed, Nikki, and also that we heard from Natasha before. So we have six themes, and so many of the sessions are organized around these themes. So the themes are prevention, screening, and early detection, cancer research and progress, healthcare systems and policies, cancer treatment and palliative care, tobacco control, and people living with cancer. And here in the people living with cancer is where we talk about the issues that Natasha raised around what are the emotional impacts of cancer. How can we better support patients and their families as they go through the cancer journey? So this is how we all meet. We have abstract sessions. We have rapid fire where people present their research. We have workshops. We have meetings. We have photo exhibitions. It's a really inspiring and motivating meeting.
Well, as you say, people from all over the world. Who do you actually, are people invited? Do people, I know there's something like 1,600 attendees. It's from 118 countries, and you said from all walks of life. But how are they invited? How can people come along? If people are listening now and you know, they are, they're working in this field and they would like to attend. Is it open to everybody?
Yes, it is open to everybody. And About UICC. So UICC is a membership organization. So we are an organization of about 1,100 members in 170 countries. And our members include hospitals, cancer societies, ministries of health, large foundations, patient groups. So we have a real range of members. There are several organizations, of course, who decide that if they're not members, they can still come. It's open to everyone. Medical students come because they want to learn as much as they can about cancer. So yes, it's open. And on the World Cancer Congress website, there's the registration that anybody can download and sign up to join.
Absolutely.
It's digital, and there's also a digital pass. So if people around the world obviously can't come to Geneva, there's a digital. There are sessions available digitally, so you can listen to them at your own convenience.
Okay, fantastic. And you're going to please give me those details. Sure. I mean, I'm just looking at all of the information. I mean, it just looks amazing. And then three abstracts being presented at a press conference: paternal cancer orphans, socioeconomic burden of ovarian cancer, impact of COVID-19. On yes. cancer diagnosis. I mean, yes. It's all there. Wow. All there. Okay. Amazing. And also within the South African context, I'm just looking at the statistics in South Africa, over 100,000 new cancer diagnoses annually, and some 665,000 related deaths. You know, we highlight this as often as we can. You know, we have, so I'm sure you're aware of lots of challenges, in South Africa, and also challenges. I mean, we had people talking about a waiting list of people who want to, patients who are looking for radiotherapy, and they are on this waiting list, and the money is sitting there, it's been budgeted for, and it's waiting. So, you know, I'm always encouraged that these kind of congresses take place, and please God, you'll be having lots of people from South Africa, and lots of benefits and things will slowly start to change. Sonali, that's all we can hope for. Is there anything that you'd like to just share with our audience before we do say goodbye that we haven't discussed?
Well, Nikki, I think what I want to say is just to pick up on your last point. You know, these congresses are important because of the exchange of ideas and best practice that are then taken into the countries. If it just stays in Geneva of a bunch of people talking together, yes, of course, that has value and that you can learn from one another. But it's about putting this in practice. And what we do hope as well is that our members, many of our members work really on the interface between the health system and the communities. And the message we want to get out there is that there is hope with cancer. It is not an automatic death sentence. It is not that, you know, the world just ends. There is so much to be optimistic about in terms of what we know about cancer, how we can detect it, how we can treat it. We heard a very positive story from Natasha just previously. There are a lot that we can do individually to decrease our risk of getting cancer, but there's also so much that our governments can do to support us in having a better, more holistic response to cancer through, including tests in the National Health Service, including certain treatments in the National Health Service, supporting access to pain relief and palliative care, supporting counseling and support. And these are the messages that we press at UICC with the governments with whom we work. We work closely with the WHO. We work with other international agencies. So we're on it. And there is a lot of progress in the field. And I think that is what I want to say to listeners about that.
Fantastic. Sonali, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. I really do hope that the Congress this year is going to be really impactful. And we thank you so much. I will be sharing the website for the UICC as well as World Cancer Congress with the listeners. And then, they can decide. Well, wouldn't it be lovely if someone listening would attend? Thank you so much, Sonali. Lovely
having
you on
Nisha.
The show.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you and goodbye.